You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Once the injury happened, first thing that comes to my mind, you know, me being the wannabe future GM, I'm like, dang it, my knee's done. Was this my last game as a Raven?
Intercepted by Marlon Humphrey.
Marlon Humphrey is without a doubt in the conversation to be the best corner in football.
Tony, what's up, man? Good to have you here. Thank you for coming in to Studio 44. It's good to have you. How you doing?
Doing good, bro. Had a great days of work, got better, so.
Great days of work, got better. We were just talking. Mm-hmm. The number 44.
Yeah.
You, along with Brandon Carr, a lot of other guys, were not against the number 44. What was your initial reaction when I told you guys I was going to be wearing 44?
Wasn't surprised when you said you would be 44, because that is like a Marlin.
It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah, it's like a Marlin type deal. Wild. But, it's grown on me a little bit. I wasn't really expecting, you know, greatness out of the 44, but it came, bro.
Yeah, it was definitely wild. It was definitely wild. But I really thought about 44 when I first signed. Now, that probably would have been a mistake. Would have been too soon to do that. But speaking of numbers, what's up with your number? 23. It mean anything to you?
23? Not really. I really want number one, but I know that's probably not an obtainable number. Has anyone ever wore number one here?
I mean, it's never been allowed. And maybe
you think I'm gonna be the first one? I wouldn't even go ask, so. I was straight. I'm good with 23. 23 is a good number. I mean, I wore 22 when I was in Arizona. Yep. And obviously when I got here, Jimmy had deuce.
Okay, so I forgot about that.
23, you know. Pretty fire.
So just number nothing to you. Okay, draft just happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was obviously first rounder.
Yeah, I know, bro.
Talk to me about, you know, it doesn't really matter where you start, obviously. You know, you were able to, year 10?
Basically.
But tell me about your draft experience. I think, you know, we always see the lollipops and the rainbows
of
the first rounders with the parents sending a message. Tell me about your experience with, you know, day one, two, and three going by.
Yeah, so coming out, I came out early, and then I obviously had a high draft grade when I met with Coach Stoops, and everything was looking good as far as like me getting drafted. So my training, I don't know if I necessarily took training as serious as I could have, because I was like 20 years old, and we were training in
Where'd you train at?
Hollywood in LA. Yeah, so me being a Cali kid, you know, I've always wanted to experience that LA life. And, you know, I was in Hollywood and I was young. I was around a bunch of other guys who were going in the first round. And me mentally, I'm like, I'm right here with y'all. I'm finna get drafted high like y'all. But, you know, I didn't run well. And I'm assuming that's why I didn't get drafted. I still don't know, like, the real direct reason of why I didn't get drafted, but I mean, my stats and everything in college kind of backed me up as far as me thinking why I should be getting drafted. But long story short, luckily I didn't have a draft party. My agent was telling me at the time, you know, probably won't be first day draft guy, but second day for sure. So first day goes by. And the last pick of the first round was Matt Elam, and he came here. And I remember during the combine, I had a really good meeting with the Ravens. You know, I felt like, we connected. When they came up first round 32nd pick, I'm like, hey, Pops, hold on. We might. But no, didn't happen. The next day, I'm like, all right, let's go get some hats from Walmart, you know.
Oh, so you, okay.
That was, probably gonna that was be your day.
That was your day.
You know, nada. So.
But you knew day three.
Oh, yeah, no, day three, like, I woke up like.
Feeling good.
Probably a Packer. Probably, okay. Raider. Nah, then we get to the seventh round.
Were you watching the draft?
Oh, I'm watching the entire thing.
Oh, you was like legit locked in.
Oh, yeah, I was locked in. So I'm watching all these safeties go up. I'm like, who? Then it started getting to the sixth and seventh round. And that's when the fullbacks start going. Rex Ryan.
Punters.
Oh, yeah, Rex Ryan.
A long snapper every once in a while.
Rex Ryan called me in the seventh round. He was with the Jets. He's like, man, I'm trying to convince the GM to draft you right now in the seventh round. And then they ended up taking a fullback. So I was crushed. I was hurt. But, I mean, at that point, I told my agent, I'm like, look, I don't even care, like, where we sign. Like, because all these teams were calling, like, we want you as a priority free agent, blah, blah, blah. And I told my agent straight up, I'm like, I don't even care. Like, I was hot at this point. So I was like, just pick for me. Like, what's
pick for? Oh, so you didn't even care at all.
Nah. My mind was already messed up.
My mind was made up.
Yeah, I was like, wherever I'm going to go, I'm going to just be a dog and dog it out. So we ended up picking the Cardinals. And, you know, looking at the situation, you always want to look at the depth chart, who they got. And he felt like it was the best spot for me. And ended up going there, rookie mini camp. I mean, out of the gate. I was just picking, I was getting interceptions like crazy. And then that second preseason game, they put me in there and I had two picks. And then from there, I just kind of, I felt comfortable and I made the team, so.
Tyrann Mathieu and Pat P were there too.
Yeah, they were all there. I had some good leadership and some good guys to like feed off of while I'm playing and to watch, so.
So you immediately came in and started making plays. Did you ever feel like there was a time when it was like, knowing you're the undrafted guy in the room, it was a little bit tighter on what you could mess up on? And like,
oh, yeah, for sure. They used to call me Bobcat because there was this one play called Bobcat that it's three receiver hook. And like, I had no idea what that meant. And like, it was at a point, Coach Bowles, Todd Bowles was the head coach now for the Buccaneers. He would, he would call Bobcat purposely when I would be in there. That was the name of the play. And I would mess it up like every time. So.
But you just, it
didn't work. But everything else, cover three, cover one, I was doing it right, obviously. It was crazy, bro. Looking back, that was so long ago, but
yeah.
If those situations, I feel like, didn't occur, I don't know where I'd be as a man, like, mentally. So it helped me out.
So then you come to the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Our second year, we have a number one defense.
Yeah, 2018.
What would you say, like, when I look back on that year, I was like, that was a fun year.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think were the traits that made that defense like just above others? And we were just, I mean, it seemed like we were getting turnovers every week all over the place. I mean, that game with the Titans, we had like 9 or 10 sacks.
I think it was like 11.
What do you think made that defense? Because that was that the only, that's the only number one defense you've been on, right?
Yeah.
So what made that defense kind of head and shoulders above the rest of the league?
I think just like we had real friendships and like, yeah. We were really hanging out 24/7. We were actually, you know, everybody wanted to be around each other. And like, you don't see it when you're hanging out, but when we get back on the field, like everything was just like clicking, you know what I mean? So that was a really fun year. I think we're starting to get back to that a little bit just with everyone, you know, once everything forms again. But I mean, that was one of probably my better years, you know, in the league. You know, just being able to be around all you guys, Weddle, you know, and just, we're just having fun. I think that's the number one thing, just having fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's when everybody was, we were at your house watching those.
Yeah,
those,
we were going to the finals. Everybody's finals coming game. Over to the house. Yeah, you know, that was we were watching the finals game and had Joe Flacco over there. Like the whole team was, yeah, just the whole, like, team, you know, was, what, yeah, I mean? So
I was No, that was the year before that. That's when I was on rookie duty getting the pizzas. I was
yeah,
like,
and the wings.
And the wings. I'm like,
messing up on the orders.
Y'all was, anyway. all right, so then going into the next year, you kind of get a little trouble, ACL.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing, you know, it's weird. I had never been an injured guy.
Yeah.
And so get hurt last year, and it's weird watching your guys play can't play.
Oh, it's the worst.
So tell me, it's just a weird feeling, but I know that happened with you. I remember you got the game ball. Against the Steelers in the locker room.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind when all that it was a muggy day. What's going through your mind when all that happened? How you think about that?
I still remember that week was just weird. I had hurt myself in the weight room by lifting. I was doing a clean and I get jacked up so much on the C4 and the pre-workouts. I was just so I lifted the bar up and I actually hit the bar in my head. I started bleeding, had to get stitches before the game. So I went out there and, you know, I don't know if that week was, it was just an off week for me.
Off week for you, yep.
You know what I mean? I didn't feel right, but went out there. I think I was playing well before the injury happened. But once the injury happened, first thing that comes to my mind, you know, me being the wannabe future GM, I'm like, dang it, my guaranteed money's up, my knee's done. Was this my last game as a Raven? So that's kind of where my mindset was. I mean, I wasn't really too worried about the injury. I'm like, I know I could recover from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the worst part was really just the recovery from it. I thought I would be able to recover from my knee injury a lot faster than I did. But it was just a complicated injury.
Yeah.
And the worst part, really, honestly, was when I was hurt. I got out. And you guys like won every single game after that. Oh, now you talk about hurt watching, like that was hurt. I was hurt watching that. You know what I mean? Because we didn't really start off that well.
Yeah, we lost. We started 2-2.
Yeah,
we won two, lost two.
Yeah, we started off
right
well with the Dolphins, then we played the Cardinals.
Yep.
Then Browns.
Then
Chiefs.
Killed by the Browns.
Then we went to the Steelers. So.
It was like a winner break.
I don't think anybody defensively was playing like well. And then, because I remember how bad that Browns game was.
Yeah,
I mean, you had like made a couple errors and then it looked like it was on me. So everybody, they had made like a whole little.
I tried to pinch you, but.
Nah, it's all good.
I had to pick you as a blank.
Yeah,
so
nah,
I said,
but,
I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to have it.
Nah, but that was tough. But like I said, I think that type of stuff, like, built my character, built me mentally, you know, prepped me for like the worst things I could possibly come.
You spoke on when you got hurt, you were thinking GM cap. What's next for Tony Jefferson after football? Whenever you decide to hang up the cleats, is that what's next?
I mean, I would always love to become a GM, but I know how hard it is to get in that position. And I know it takes a lot of hard work too. But I do want to get into coaching, and then obviously, you know, the scouting and stuff is something that I really like doing. I see myself even scouting, even like when I'm coaching my son's team, I'm like, he's got a nice little build. He probably could, you know, I mean, I got.
Do you still, I know you used to do mock drafts. Do you still do the mock drafts?
Yeah, I'd be doing the mock drafts on my own. I don't really put it out there no
like
more
you used
because
to.
It doesn't look too good when you're wrong all of them. So I try to keep it to myself.
So was it last week? Last week you were, I hit you up, thought you were in town. And you were like, I had to get back and see my son play because he got his first pick. Being a 10-year vet, had, you know, made this your livelihood, how was it seeing your kid? I know it's early, but how was it seeing your kid kind of follow in those footsteps or playing football? And like, how was that seeing that as a father?
It's pretty surreal, honestly. And then last week when I went home, he had his best game that he's had like his whole 7-year lifespan.
And you're the coach, right?
Yeah, I'm helping out with those guys and also with baseball. He had his best day in baseball too. So I was able to watch him go out there and really compete. And that was fulfilling for me as a father. But more so as a coach, you get to see like the younger guy. Like I was telling my wife, it's like, I love when the good players do well, but when the players who aren't as good or haven't had as much experience and they do well, it's more fulfilling for me. So like our lower graded players, I feel like when they do something better, I get a little more excited when they do it. So like I said, coaching's fun. It's something that, you know, I probably would look into doing. I know Weddle, he's gonna be head coach for his high school next year. And he did tell me he's gonna save a spot for me for the staff. So I will be looking forward to that as well once I'm done.
So, I mean, I coached, I haven't coached ball yet, but coaching track, it's definitely a challenge. I've never coached little kids, but I mean, I've coached bigger kids, but what would you say is the hardest part about, I mean, because kids, they don't really listen too much, obviously, but what is probably the hardest part with trying to have the patience and the connect with those kids?
Bro, I've learned to have so much patience with, because these kids are 7 and 8 years old, and then when they get to practice, they're literally like just getting off the bus from school, so like their brains are like, so like trying to get them to focus is like one of the toughest parts. So you try to make like drills and stuff like more fun so they can focus in. Like we do sharks and minnows. Like we have some guys be the guys who get the flag and everyone runs and you try to get them. So little games like that, but I think mostly just the focus really is like the toughest part, like at that age group. But like I said, it's just fulfilling when you see them actually focus in and lock in and then take it to the game and they do that. That is that's pretty good feeling.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. Recently, well, not really too recent, just had 2 daughters. Mm-hmm. How was I know you had your son for a while.
Yeah.
How's it bringing in not one, but 2 daughters into the world?
Yeah, so basically you just think at it like this. You get 2 infants at the same time, and they're fraternal, so they're not identical, so they're 2 different kids.
I didn't even know that.
You know what I mean? So you're having two kids at once. And it's great. I mean, I love my daughters to death. It's a lot of screaming and crying. You know, their mother spoils them a lot. I do too. And everyone else, you know, it's hard not to, so.
How old are they right now?
They're 2. They just turned 2 in February, so. It's definitely a challenge there with patience as well. You know, especially with my son, he likes to mess with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I look over and I'm like, bro, you cannot be DDTing your sister right there. You can't do wrestling moves on your sister, like relax. But it's great. You know, we went from a party of 3 to party of 5, and I don't know if we'll be adding to that, but right now we're perfectly content with the 5 we have now. And my 2 girls, man, Jayla and Alea, they brought me when I was down. I mean, when I wasn't playing, I was rehabbing, like,
yeah.
We had to go through COVID and all that. We're stuck in the house. So I was able to be a dad like 24/7, not leaving and going there because we were in the house. And, you know, that just brought me closer to the family and everything being and all that. So it's been a cool experience, man. I'm happy God's blessed me with that.
Amen.
And just going to continue to thrive.
So you're, you spoke on when you were rehabbing. You get hurt, rehab kind of year, kind of take a year off.
Yeah.
That year when you were trying to get back into things, how was end up going to the 49ers for a little bit? How was it when you were kind of, you know, on that 49ers, you know, P-Squad, knowing you could really get, like, how was it to reinsert yourself basically back to the
bro.
League? I know it's hard once you get out, so how was that kind of new obstacle?
Bro, that was honestly, when I got to San Francisco and having been here in Baltimore, and just the locker room, knowing everybody, and then going into a new setting where it's like, okay, everybody's like, okay, well, we know who this guy is, but he didn't play last year. Is he washed? Is he like the washed up guy? Or like what? Like who is this? So like mostly everybody, they're like, oh yeah, like what? But like you have to literally like look at it as you're starting over. It's like, I really, like when I was in San Francisco, I felt like I was an undrafted free agent again. It felt like,
jeez.
Oh yeah, no. And I was treated that way too, trust me. Like I was out there, I mean, 3rd, 4th string safety. I mean, running routes on scout team. Like, I really was starting over. And it was like, on me, it was tough mentally because it's like, bro, I'm really starting over. Like, after I really feel like that. Yeah, after putting it all that way, I'm like, man, it's like, that's how the league really is. So I really got a good look at, like, how the league works. It's definitely a what have you done for me lately type of league.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, man, all that work I done put in for all these 7-8 years, like, just get washed away. And yeah, it does. It does. And so, like, I'm on practice squad, bro, and I'm like, bro, I feel like I can play. I had the opportunity to play in one game. They played the Rams on Monday night. And I had a good, very good week of practice picking the ball off, and I thought I was going to get a lot of action. End up only getting 2 plays in. You know, that kind of upset me a little bit. And then my final week there in San Francisco, I actually had my best practice. They gave me, like, scout team player of the week, which I really didn't care for. Like, and then got released. I'm like, Eric, like, hit up the coach, like, bro, like, come get me, bro. Like, you guys got injuries, everything. So, end up bringing me in for a workout. I was Chris Hewitt. He good looking out. He was looking out for me because I went to the workout like he's like, bro, like, slow
chill,
down,
chill.
Like, relax, bro. You gonna fall on your face. But I ended up having a good workout. My first week back. Actually, my first day at practice, Chuck had got, like, COVID, so they're like, hey, you're up. So I finally get my opportunity to play, go out there, play. I think I did solid. Then the next game, we played Cincinnati. And then I ended up starting in the second half. Thought I played pretty solid. Then, you know, just got in there, got to get some plays in. I think I made a couple plays here and there. You know, which I felt like was good after taking a year off. So it was good, man. I was happy I got to get out there and show that I could still play. I felt like the league was trying to push me out, and I feel like I still have a lot in the tank. I think taking the year off actually helped me prolong my career in many ways. So I'm just glad that I have another opportunity to go out there and show that I still have some juice. The old man got some juice, and see where it goes.
And you're 30 now.
Yeah, I turned 30 in January, and you know what they say. You know,
scary number.
Hey, you know what they say. Yeah, when you turn 30, everything's downhill from there. But I think they lied because I'm feeling good, feeling up. I'm moving great, so I'm gonna just let my play lead the talking from now on.
So you've been to, I mean, you've been to two other places, and we're kind of gonna see, like. A lot of times when people come in from different places, they're like, man, it's not like this everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Like, and I heard you say that before. What? I've only been here, so I really can't speak on anywhere else. I know I like it here, but what do you think is one or two things that make the Ravens kind of different than a lot of organizations?
Bro, honestly, when I got here, like, and it was so easy for me to, like, transition, like, from Arizona to here, I just felt like it was just family oriented. Like, I felt like everybody was real that, like, works in the building. Like, you didn't really have to, like, they weren't gonna BS you in any way, which is kind of how I work. I don't like gray area because that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, like, if you could shoot it to me straight.
It's way better.
Yeah, it's way better. Cause I'm gonna shoot it to you straight. So if you give it to me straight, I'm gonna give it to you straight. And that's how I feel like has been, like, the main reason on why people love it here. And they allow you to be yourself. Like, you're not going to get judged off of your personality. And I love when Harb says, like, before a game, let your personality shine. Like, be who you are when you're out there on the field as well. So, you know, nobody's, like, judging you. Like, this isn't a judgmental organization, like, on your personality. Like, you're getting judged for your film, your play on the field.
Yeah.
But, like, off the field, I don't – like Studio 44, like, you are who you are. They're allowing you to do that, and they're letting you showcase that. So this is why I feel like when players come here, like, they feel like an ounce of freedom.
Yeah.
Just go let me be me. Whatever I do on the field, like, you guys decide that. You guys, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I think that's huge. I think it's huge.
So last couple questions. I just recently saw some film of you, which I've seen before, of you carrying the rock back in the day, back in high school.
I'm really like that.
Tell us, first off, before we talk about good you were, Why did you end up going to safety as opposed to staying at running back?
Got to ask Kel Gundy that, the running backs coach for Oklahoma. I mean,
oh, you went to Oklahoma as a running back?
Well, as an athlete. I mean,
athlete. They were,
when I was getting recruited, especially by USC, Pete Carroll and Morton, they were recruiting me out of USC, and I was still kind of going back and forth what I wanted to play. And they told me they were going to try me at both once I got there, or whatever I wanted to do. And then when I got to Oklahoma, I think their plan was more for me on defense. And then I literally almost transferred like 3 or 4 weeks into being in Oklahoma just because.
You wanted to play running back that bad?
I think more it was a culture shock for me once I got to Oklahoma. And then like, I was like, yeah, I kind of want to play running back, but I ended up staying, worked out. But I still think to this day I could play running back in the league.
In the NFL.
And look.
We didn't even have many. All our running backs were hurt last year. You could have just. Did you ask that question?
Yes, I did. I actually did tell G-Ro when he needed me to. Hey, if you need a running back, let me know. So.
Okay.
He declined. So obviously G-Ro don't think I'm like that. But hey.
So G-Ro don't have faith in you?
Nah, he don't.
But a lot of guys ain't have faith in you before. It might be.
That's what I'm saying.
It might be time to take it upstairs. Go.
Nah, but it's cool. When I'm done with the NFL, I'll probably go to USFL, play running back.
I wanted to speak on that too. So the US, I think it's
USFL. Is it USFL?
That's in Birmingham.
Oh,
that's in my.
So I'm gonna just stay at your.
Stay at my mom in the crib. We can make that happen, but what? Speaking, going back to high school. So you're at Westlake.
East Lake.
You were getting recruited as a runner. What were your other? What led you to choose Oklahoma as opposed to anywhere else?
It was just a lot of stuff going on like during my recruiting process. Like, oh shoot. When I was getting recruited, my last year, Urban Meyer ended up being sick. I'm not sure what really went on with that, but he got sick, so he left Florida. While I'm at the Army All-American game, they came down with the sanctions for USC with Pete Carroll.
Oh, yep.
So at this point, I'm like, I just want to go somewhere where there's a stable coaching staff. And Bob, he wasn't going anywhere from what I could see. And I felt like Oklahoma was a big time program. And, you know, I just felt comfortable doing that. And we had two other guys from San Diego that went there as well. So when we went there, we were called the Cali Trio. And
the Cali Trio.
Yeah. If the NIL deals were going on, oh man, I might not have had to ask people for money to eat while I was in college.
I got a few more questions for you.
Go ahead.
Rapid fire questions. Dogs or cats?
Dogs, bro.
You gotta
stop with the.
Bro, money. The cat's fire.
Bro, the cats literally don't do nothing. Bro,
my cat is different though.
He's a dog.
My cat is very personality.
For real?
I'm really about to start walking around Baltimore with my cat. Like when I'm just outside, just walking, living down there, I'm about to just be walking around. Like, with my cat.
Do they run away from like everyone they see or like? I feel like every time I see a cat, bro, they're like. Looking like
no, my cat will run right up on you and be like, "What's up?" Okay, just jump in your lap. I mean, it's
bro,
really.
I promise you, like, I'm not scared of cats, but like they kind of like freak me out a little bit.
I actually used to. I didn't used to be scared, but
you just never know what a cat is.
It's something about
thinking,
cats
bro.
That, like, as a child, I don't know. What is the worst sound in the world?
The worst sound?
Yeah, what's the worst sound that you just hate to hear?
An alarm clock.
You're early morning guy though.
Yeah, but I hate hearing it.
Breakfast food or dinner food?
Dinner. I hardly eat breakfast.
Breakfast
bro.
Is weak.
Especially like before a workout. Yeah. Like,
breakfast is weak. Yeah. I'd rather have a smoothie. What's your favorite song?
Favorite song?
Right. What's now? Your song that gets you going before a game? What song do you need to hear every time before a game?
Before a game.
I'll
be having a little shuffle going on.
I'm not musically motivated.
But most of the time, I gotta listen to Mozzie, some type of Mozzie.
See, I don't know who Mozzie is.
See, yeah. But you're from Bama, so it's cool.
What does that mean?
He from Cali.
Oh, he's from Cali.
Yeah.
I don't know who's from Bama, who routes from Bama. I think Gucci is from Bama. Bessemer.
He don't rep that.
Yeah, he don't. He rep the A.
I'm about to say, I never heard of Bama.
All right. Last two. What's the best age to be?
The best age to be?
You can be any age for just ever.
You could be Bro, I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, you're only 30, so you ain't really been living too long, but.
Well, honestly, 23.
23? And that's why you're 23?
I just loved being 23. I don't know why. Because you're like.
I gotta think about that.
You're at that age where you're just like, this is like the prime. Like 23 is like prime, I feel like.
All right, last question. If you could look back on your life, mm-hmm. we've all made mistakes. We've all made things we've done that we wish you did. We've all made some mistakes that ended up working out well. What would you tell a young 18-year-old Tony Jefferson? What would be one thing you would tell him?
I would tell 18-year-old me, don't leave high school early. I left high school early.
You left high school early?
I left high school early. And I wasn't, that's why it was hard for me.
How did you leave high school early?
Oh, I did the little classes. And
you went to the spring.
I went in spring. Oh. And like when I tell you, like, I used to be on Facebook, bro, and I used to see all my friends like getting ready for like going to parties, and I'm in Oklahoma like going to workouts at 5 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, I was never
that. That I missed. I always wish that I could get that little semester back. I mean, I did go back for prom, which was cool, but like, bro, I felt like I did miss a lot of my senior year by doing that. And
key stuff. Never get high school. I loved high school.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. High school was fun. And then like my last year in high school before I left early, like most of it was me just doing work because like I was trying to hurry up and finish. So like, I don't think I really enjoyed my last year of high school.
Well, Tony, I hope you get your running back dreams. Maybe even on the squad, but if not, USFL, set that up. Thank you for
Alabama
your time.
Stallions. My man.
All right.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.